All right, hallelujah. I want you to go to Romans 12:1. This is a verse I've preached on quite a few times. And, don't know about that, but been there enough times to say I've did it before. But it's something that speaks to my heart. Chapter 12, verse 1. You know, one of the things you're going to face in your life that you need that is really critical, and I don't know how much we focus on this or let it go, but the fact that you're being personally transformed, personally metamorphosized into the image of Christ is actually critical to everything. Many times I've heard people say, you know, we all seek out and say, God, you know, what would you have for me? What would I do? What should I do, Father? And all that. And it's like, I understand that. I pray the same thing. We want to know what God is doing. We want to know where God is going. We want to have a handle on what he wants us to do. But the closest, the most important thing that should be near your heart is personal transformation. Everything that you're going to do, every place that you're going to go is going to be directly connected to transformation. We ask God to bring us places and to do things with us, and it's needed. We should do that. And the Lord wants us to know that he is personally working on transformation. He is changing us. He is changing what goes on inside of us. In fact, most of the things we deal with, it's not so much our circumstances as that which goes on inside of you. That's which goes on inside of me. The greatest trouble people go through is often that which goes on inside of them. It's rarely, your surroundings are rarely your worst problem. But I want you to think of means of that everything you will go towards, everything that you will go to, is very directly connected to the transformation that you're going through by the Spirit of God in your life. It's interesting because if you view your Christianity strictly on, you know, do this, don't do that, and there are rules in Christianity. I hate when people say, you know, there are no rules that we follow. I'm like, there's a whole book of rules, and that's fine because this is God's word, this is God's truth, and we can go. But the reality is the personal transformation that is going on in you is really critical because you're becoming more like Jesus. Think about this. It's a divine process which we should be encouraged by. When I was a young believer, I used to ask the Lord for a lot of things. And I'd want to do this, and I'd want to accomplish this. And I really had the Lord speak to my heart one time, and I've said this story a lot of times. You know, you're asking for things, Mike, that you couldn't handle if I brought them. You're asking for blessings that if I put what you just said in your life, you'd completely mess it up. Lord more or less told me, I got to grow you into things. So it's not a shopping list, Mike, and you need to be willing to be transformed, to become that man. Do you realize every destination that if God has shown you you're going to be a prophet, or God has shown you you're going to be a prayer warrior, he is actually growing your inner man into the person that prophesies. He is growing your inner man into the person that is that prayer warrior. He is growing your inner man into the person that can do this or that, or your inner woman. Sorry about that, girls. And the reality is that's why this process is so critical. A lot of times Christians run into problems because we change our outside, we change where we hang out, we change our speech, we do this. But what really changes that which is around you is that which goes on inside of you. If we could get this down, if we could understand this better, it would change us. If you're convinced your surroundings are holding your back, you're believing something that is not totally true. As we read in the book of Acts, even the book of Acts, everybody loves the book of Acts because the dead are being raised, the sick are being healed, the blind are seeing, people are being baptized in the Holy Spirit. We love it. But the book of Acts is one of persecution, death, torture, everything. Mm-hmm. Those men that you see, whether it's Peter performing at the temple, whether it's Paul doing this or raising up someone or praying for a sick man or seeing the sight to the blind, God shaped him and made him into the man that would do that. Just to think it's important to understand. And I want to say this too. When you're submitted to the Lord, there is a process going on inside of you that you're not even aware of most of the time. There is change that is being generated inside of you that you're not aware of. But that doesn't mean it's not going on. So I want you to think in terms of being transformed today. I do. I want you to think in terms of that's either what's going to make you or break you. You know, you can have everything given to you. You can have a situation that's perfect. But if your insides are not right, If something is going on in your inside, you're going to struggle, you're going to struggle. Now, I say that to give you hope. This isn't a depressing message. It's a message of hope, because we often look at our personality, our fears, our limitations as to what we think God can do with us. And there's an arrogance, even in myself, where we're arrogant. We think we understand what we're capable of, and we're capable of so much more because the Spirit of God is going to move in us, and He's going to change that. So part of transformation you need to start thinking of is to understand that things are changing. Things will change. But again, so importantly, things inside of you are changing. You know, a lot of people don't believe, especially when you're in the world. When you're in the world, you try to change your circumstance all the time. And your outside tells you what you're supposed to feel inside. But it's funny, in the body of Christ, in the Christian, it's your insides that actually are going to dictate a lot of what's going on around you. It's interesting, because many times as Christians we can be naturalist. And what I mean is we just only believe in what we can see. We only believe in how far we think we can go. And we're very, very, very limited in the scope of where we're going. So I want to encourage you today that this transformation process is going on. Romans 12:1 is a simple one. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And this is interesting, because, you know, oftentimes we kind of go, it's hard, and God's trying to lead me places, and sometimes we fight with where we're going. Or should I say we fight with where He's leading us. But part of being a living sacrifice is that. I mean, think about it. You're a living sacrifice. So we're unique in that we are not, you know, like a sacrifice would, you know, have its throat slit. It would bleed out. It is dead. Then you take the carcass, you put it on the altar, and you burn it, and you offer it. A living sacrifice is interesting because it's not dead. And yet it is dead. And I want you to think about something. A lot of what we're talking about when we talk about that living sacrifice is really just talking about Jesus. Jesus was a living sacrifice. Every day Jesus lived, he understood that he could only do what he saw the Father doing. And he, think about someone that is born to die. And that death is going to be by the perfect will of God. Many times I would read this and I would think about different people that have given a lot for Jesus and different people. And I've been in a lot of nations and have taken some risk. But, you know, when you really look at, you know, being a living sacrifice, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, you're really talking about being like Jesus. I don't know if you've ever thought of it that way, but that's really what it's about, becoming sons and daughters of God. That's where we're at today. But it's not going to be to where always it's that, you know, sometimes we don't want to die. You know, Jesus was in the garden, and I'll never forget the prayer, and he says, you know, Father, if it's possible, take this cup from me. But he says, but not as I will, but your will be done. That is one of the epitomes. That is one of the best examples of what a living sacrifice is. You are aware that there are things that you will be asked to do that you may not like. But at the end of the day, you're like Jesus. So you're saying, Lord, that's going to hurt, or that's going to be hard, but let your will be done instead of mine. It's deferring to another. And so much comes down to this. I want you to think about this for a minute. Now, I've gotten into the Greek before. That word, I beseech you, was a military word. It was used of troops going into the most dangerous battles. Because the Christian life is not for weak. The Christian life is not for those that live in fear. The Christian life is not for those who don't want change. The Christian life is for men and women who are living sacrifices, meaning we are alive but dead to ourselves and alive to God. We were born to serve the will of another in Christ, the will of the Father. This is so much of who we are becoming. And this is the other trick when I look at a living sacrifice. Part of it is what I'm becoming. You know, we think in the day, and I go through trials, and I've been through stuff, you've been through stuff, and there are trials that just make your stomach turn. There are trials that hurt, they ache, your heart hurts. There are trials where you go, I don't know if I can even get through this. But at the end of the day, we're a living sacrifice. And at the end of the day, we are living under the will of another. And this is something we need to think of. Paul wasn't saying here that it's easy to be this. He wasn't saying that you won't struggle with trying to get yourself off of the sacrificial altar. In fact, I think one of the most innate things in the spirit of man, especially in his old man, is we want what we want. We do what we want to do. We don't like people telling us what to do. We don't like being under the will of another. We wish to be ultimately free. And yet being in Jesus is being ultimately, you know, listening to the will of the Father, ultimately going where he says go, doing what he says to do. But walking dead men is a good way. Now, I don't want you to get into the series Walking Dead, because trust me, being in Jesus is not being a zombie. And being a living sacrifice isn't about some grotesque thing. But it is about, in a way, you're alive, but you're dead. You're doing the will of another. And you're willing to make the sacrifices that you need to make to be in the places you need to be. It can be little, it can be big. We had a situation where we went to a mental institution and were casting a demon or demons out of this young man, 18 years old, wonderful young man, got sick, got ill, was in a mental ward, picked up a spirit. You know, and I come in there and I realize, and the person says, hey, you know, one of the ministry partners I have says, hey, we're going to a mental institution. I said, are we going for you or who are we going for? He said, no, I'm bringing you as well. I said, well, I've always suspected. But anyway, so we go to the mental institution. And when you say, now, I've been to a mental institution, we've cast demons out before. I've seen people recover. In fact, you know the story. I went to one mental institution, told a girl about Jesus. She had a psychotic break. She was so far gone. They said she'd be in there 5 years. She received Jesus. She got deliverance. She got free. She got out a week later. They had her in a straitjacket when she was in there. And they called me from the ward and said, that's practicing medicine without a license. You are not allowed on this ward anymore to interact with people. And I said to the head psychiatrist, I said, it's amazing that you're supposed to be a doctor and a healer. And this woman was made well, was completely nuts. And you're mad at me because she was sound-minded. That's interesting. You know, I'll be honest, we can get so selfish. I got that proposition. I really didn't want to go. I had better things to do with my night. It's tiring. You go and you cast demons out, and it can be really hard. And you can get a whiplash. You have no idea unless you've done it. It's not simple. You will take a beat many times to do that. It will cost you. And it won't end there when you pray for the person. I've had supernatural manifestations after praying for people that go on a week, two, three. Objects moving, all kinds of crazy stuff. Nightmares. But then there's a part of you and you say, you know, I'm a living sacrifice and therefore I'm under the will of another, the will of the Lord. We want to do what God is doing. It doesn't mean we do everything everybody asks, but the things that God asks, we need to say, this is where living sacrifice comes in, because I really don't want to get on that off altar of denial. I don't want to do this because I can't do this if I do this. And it's this, there's a tension that's always there. But the more you grow in Christ, the more that's the only way to go. You know, I was going off to on a missions trip to a really bad country, to a real dangerous place, and somebody was, you know, very concerned about where I was going. They said, can somebody else go for you? I said, well, that's kind of funny you mention that, because that's my call, and I'm not sure why I would send another to go to a country that I'm supposed to be in. That doesn't make sense. Well, it's dangerous. I get that. You know, and you could get killed. I get that. Quit reminding me. But I'm supposed to be the one doing this particular job, and there are other people called to do other jobs, and it goes right back to being a living sacrifice. You know, it's interesting, when you talk about comfort zones, this scripture hits right against comfort zones. I don't know about you, I got comfort zones. I have things I like, things I don't like. I like to do certain things a certain way, and you can ask anybody that knows me, and they'll say, Pastor Mike is really picky about how he does stuff. In fact, you might even call me OCD, which is, I'm going to make new initials out of that, make it mean something else, except excessive compulsive disorder, you know. I might make it, you know, outstanding, determined, clear-minded, you know, OCD. But this is part of the issue. I've read this verse a million times, but I understood it really was describing Jesus. Jesus was the ultimate example of being a living sacrifice. He really was. I realize that you got to understand, so many things in the scripture and so many truths we follow are all about us being sons and daughters of God. That's really what it's about. It's not tricky. It's not simply about being moral. It's not even simply about being simply pure, although these are two good things. But being like Jesus is really what it comes down to. In fact, if you want to understand your life, look at the scripture and look at Jesus, and you're really seeing the ultimate Son of God who showed you how to be a son of God or a daughter of God. So Paul just tells him, you know, by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And then he says, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The thing that used to get me is that I oftentimes would do something for the Lord that was sacrificial. And I mean, I'd want to build a statue to myself. I'd want you to sound horns and talk about this thing I did. It was amazing and how selfless I am. And I read that verse one day, and you know, it says, you know, which is your reasonable service, meaning if you did what you should, you've did nothing exceptional but simply what is expected of you. You know, it's interesting. How you view your service to the Lord determines in the spirit you walk in when you do things for the Lord. It does. Meaning, if God asks you to risk your life in a foreign nation and you go do it, and that was your call, you did what you should. There is no statue that should be built unto you. There's no trumpets that should go off to say how amazing you are. You did what you should. It's interesting. If you think you're doing the Lord a favor denying yourself, I can tell you right now, you'll probably not deny yourself. I've seen many people where they believe what they're doing is just so much harder than everybody else and what God has asked of them, and they're mad at God and because he's asked them to do this and they can't believe it and somebody should recognize me. You know, oftentimes in ministry, I've had people come to me, they'd be upset with me, and I would say, and they would be crying, what's up? And they would say, well, Pastor Mike, you didn't recognize that I did this. And I've heard this time and time again. And I said, well, I'm sure God recognized that you did that, and actually I did recognize that you did that, but you're seeking attention. You're wanting somebody to pat you on the shoulder and say what an amazing job that is. And I think affirming people can be a good thing, but there's a balance there. Paul is saying, you know, if you do, basically being a living sacrifice is the most ultimate state of living. And Paul says that's merely my reasonable service of worship. Think about this. But again, part of this also deals with transformation. Now, I wrote something down in the notes that came to me. Last night, I had come in from St. Louis, and I was going to finish up my sermon, which I put in my computer. And as I opened my computer, and I didn't see the sermon, well, my first thought was, oh boy, where'd it go? And it's already 10 o'clock. This isn't good. Because I had already worked, you know, during the week and picked away at it, and it takes time. I got in there, I didn't see it, and then I typed it in, and it came up, and I thought, that's weird, it usually would be right there. And I opened it up, and the sermon was there, the first line of it. I didn't save it as I was going through the pages, therefore I lost 98% of what I typed. And I told my wife, 30 minutes. Now, if anybody knows me, and I tell my life, in my life I say this a lot, think about this. Oh, I'm going to do this. And I tell my brothers, oh, it'll be 30 minutes. I remember telling Armand, I'll be there in 30. I remember telling Dallas when I say, I'll call you back, you know, 30 minutes. And my daughters, 30 minutes. And I tell them, it'll only take this. You know, that's famous. And the reason I'm bringing all this up is because I would say this, and I'm sitting there, and I realize you've got two lines to your sermon. You're going to be up for a while. You know what I mean? This isn't going to be 30 minutes. And you go right back to it. You didn't save it. Mike, what were you thinking? What were you doing? I don't know how that happens. But okay. So we get it done and we do what we got to do. And I think about this. I want you to look at this. I wrote this down. We are called to be like Jesus, not beneficiaries. How do you feel about this today? Do you approach being a living sacrifice? A lot of times people say, I want to be saved and I want the benefits of being with Jesus. But they don't understand that we're becoming like Jesus. Here's where the tension hits. Are you a son of God, or do we want a benefits package that a son of God gets? There can be a difference. The Son of God came and said, I can only do what I see the Father doing. That's it. Think about this for a minute. I can only see what I see do what I see the Father doing. Isn't that us? Now, this means this. God's got a plan for your life, and what is the Father doing? God's got a plan for my life, and what is the Father doing in me? We are not all the same. We don't all run around doing the same thing. We don't all run around saying the same thing. We're not all called to the same mission. That's a fact. So I've had people tell me, I couldn't do that, what you did. I said, well, that's a good thing because I was called to do what I did and you're called to do what you do. And maybe we have some of the same things, but it's not always like that. Do you want the benefit package or do you want to really be a son of God? And I think that's what it comes down to, doesn't it, sometimes? Because if I believe God is to simply benefit my life and his concern, the greatest concern that he has is that I would be happy, it's going to be different, isn't it? Jesus had a mindset, obviously. He was the one and only, you know, actual son of God, and through him we would become sons of God. He was, think about Jesus for a second, but it's like he's always saying, I can only see what I do with the Father, do what only see the Father doing. Think about this for a minute. What about if you approached your life and said, I want to know what you're doing in this day, and I'll do what you're doing, Father. And I can only do what you're doing, and I can't do what you're not doing, but I can do what you're doing, meaning through me. It's interesting, Paul was the same way, Peter was the same way. As God dealt with these guys, they became living sacrifices. Isn't it interesting, too, at the beginning, Peter's denying the Lord because he doesn't want to be killed. At the end, he is glad to die for Jesus. Thus, that transition went from Peter, the fisherman, to Peter, the apostle, to Peter, the son of God that gave his life willingly. Stephen, the deacon, think about this. He gets saved in the church, and he's a deacon. He is stoned and he sees literally the throne and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. I want you to think about something right now. And he's willing to do it. He's happy to do it. Why? Because this is what God is doing. He's a living sacrifice. So by the time it came time for Stephen to be stoned to death, he was glad to be where he was. By the time it came for Peter to be martyred and his family was killed in front of him, at least this is what legend says, the apostle Peter, by the time he gets there, he was ready to be a living sacrifice. Are you with me? Mm-hmm. Now, that said, will you be martyred? I don't know, maybe not. Will you be tortured? Maybe not. Maybe you will live the rest of your days in America where we have religious freedom, although I think that's going to get curtailed in due time. I really do. There's no way you can live in America and look and say religious liberty exists fully. It doesn't. It's just not real. I've been in countries where it is illegal to proselytize somebody into Jesus. Illegal. Or it's actually a crime to witness to somebody for Jesus. A crime. If a pastor was caught baptizing somebody, 5 years. 5 years prison time. When I was even in Asia, I've been in Vietnam, Cambodia, I've been in Nepal, and I remember them raiding the place I was at in Vietnam, and they took all the materials, they took the books, military showed up, it was a mess. You know, I wonder what we would do with something like that, because we have so much liberty here. I mean, we wrestle with, do I want to go to church today? Some people wrestle with, do I want to proclaim Jesus and be thrown in prison? I remember, you know, this secret baptism going on, it was so awesome, and just I was just so moved by how they just did it. They didn't think. But that's being a living sacrifice. That's it. They're doing Jesus' work. They know Jesus will take care of them. Now, whether he takes care of them through martyrdom, through prison, or they're not caught, he takes care of them one way or the other. So he says, we are living sacrifices. We have to understand this. But I want to say something to you. When I grew up Catholic, and sacrifice like priests would not marry, you know, and that was their sacrifice. That was their whatever they call it. I thought it was kind of crazy, but, you know, but you'd respect them because, hey, these guys don't marry. They're married to Jesus. The nuns are married to Jesus. And I remember looking at some of that stuff, and I just saw drudgery, you know, like hard and not good because, well, they didn't look very happy. But later after reading this, I understood that to be a living sacrifice is also to open the door for supernatural life to come in. You know, it says the spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me. And I remember one time praying, Lord, I don't understand it because I am alive. I don't need to be raised from the dead unless something happens. Maybe I'll have to be raised from the dead. And I started thinking of this and I kind of went, and I remember forget the Lord spoke to my heart and said, you know, I don't fill dead men, live men. I only fill dead men. If you're full of yourself, resurrection power has no application. If you're full of your pride, your desire, your want, I don't fill that. There's no need. If you die to self, then my resurrection power comes in and gives new life. Even talking about being a living sacrifice is connected to a gate that opens for supernatural power to flow. A lot of people don't understand this, because normally when you hear about denial, self-denial, crucified with Christ, we, you know, if we were to focus strictly on that, we would miss half the point. Part of the reason that we're a living sacrifice is Jesus was a man born dying. He was a man born. He was on the mission of God. He would die for the sins of the world. This, all that would be committed, all that had been committed, he would pay a price backwards and forwards. And you start to understand that there's supernatural empowerment that wants to hit us. Now, the church likes that term, supernatural empowerment. We like to talk about how powerful it's going to be. You know what I'm saying? We like to talk about how important it's going to be, you know, to get power. I want to do miracles. But we don't understand there is a process that you must die. You must die. When I am a living sacrifice, the power of God will come in me and work through me. I want you to think of something. There is not room in our being for both. There never has been. But there is room that you understand how you've been made and you make way for God to do amazing things in you. Do you think the door will be open as you're a son of God, a daughter of God? Yes, it will be. Being a son or daughter of God is meant to be the footsteps of Jesus, filled with supernatural power, doing the works of the kingdom. And I love how Paul puts this, because he's really trying to help them understand. And in verse 2 he says, "And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Here's another thing. We often talk about don't be compromised as Christians. I agree with that. But oftentimes we see it as a moral code only. And my problem with that is when you are compromised, you are getting conformed to the image of the world. And as you are getting conformed to the image of the world, the Spirit of God is not going to be renewing you. The Spirit of God is in you, transforming you, even with being a living sacrifice. But if you get into the world and the world's ways, you start getting conformed, not transformed. Transformation is a divine process by which we are changed into the very image of Jesus. Being conformed is a process by we let the world that we live in affect us. It affects our morals. It affects how we think. It affects how we do things. It affects everything. And it cuts off the Spirit of God. I know one of the first things I've always recognized when people get hard times, I've seen a lot of pastors go down, is if one of the first things that goes is divine life from them. I mean, all us preachers, we know the scripture. We can quote it. We can tell it to you. We know how to say the right thing. But it's interesting when that divine life starts ebbing away because somebody gets caught up in the world, the ways of the world, and it takes away the power of God. Think about this for a minute. So when Paul says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed, it's a choice. It is a choice. You can't have one or the other. You can't be totally conformed to the ways of this world and live in this world and be infected and affected and walk in divine power. It doesn't work that way. You're either being transformed or conformed. To be conformed is a drag, because when you're conformed to the ways of the world, you get into sin, you start acting like the world, you start talking like the world. But I guarantee you, when you do that, you won't talk like Jesus. And the Spirit of God will be grieved, and the Spirit of God will actually stop working in the way that you need. Now, am I telling you there'll be no Spirit of God? I've seen people that get compromised and get into the world. I've seen them do it. I have seen them do it, and I've seen it cut off the life of God. I still would see the Spirit of God there, but it's like the potential in us to reach that place we need to be is directly connected to being a living sacrifice, but also understanding that God wants to transform you. Now, the beautiful thing about transformation, it's a process. You'll never get there overnight. You were never meant to get there overnight. In fact, as you are growing, you are changing. You know what's interesting with the changes God, and I've known a lot of you here for a long time. What I find fascinating about the transformation process is if it's in you, you don't even recognize you're changing, you know, because it moves in a slow way to where you're living with you every day and you're getting up and you pretty much feel the same. In fact, God forbid you make a mistake that you used to make, because you're for sure when you do that nothing has happened. And normally, that's actually not true. The Lord is in you. He's changing you. He's transforming you. Now, the reason this is really critical, because a lot of Christians try to, they change the outside. They change the appearance. They change their words a little bit. They change where they hang out. And that's all good. But what changed me, I was playing into the studio. I was a musician, and I was a really dark, dark guy. I was a sinner of the worst kind. I was a narcissist. I was selfish. I did not care. The only thing I cared about was what I wanted and how to get it. Pretty much other than that, I didn't have a real big agenda. Please, Mike, was pretty much what it was about. Well, a lot of sinners are that way, are they not? We try to, our happiness, our focus, that's all I cared about. But I remember when the Spirit of the Lord came in, what changed my surroundings is what started happening on the inside. It's funny, I was still playing in the studio, I was still doing work, I was under contract, and yet it's funny, I go back in the studio and it's different. It feels different. I'll never forget the first time I went back in to do a session and I had become born again. And I'm like, you know, this room looks different. The color looks different. The spotlights look different. The guys look different. Why? Same room, same everything, same instrument panel, same recording studio. And I go in there and I look and it's like, because I'm different inside. I'm already being transformed. I'm changing. Now, that eventually led to my departure from the situation. I finished out what I had to do, and then I left, and I went to Bible school. But it's funny, all of that was about what was transforming in my heart. None of it was really about, in fact, most of the changes that I was making were lining up with what was going on inside of Mike. Most of the changes that I was making were completely, totally connected. But I want to encourage you in this. This is part of the beautiful thing. As you are being transformed by the renewing of your mind. I love it says, don't be conformed, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is, a lot of people go, well, how does that work? You know, some of it says by the Spirit of your mind, by the renewing of your mind. It's about the Holy Spirit. And they kind of say, I don't understand it. You know, I need to think new. I want to say this. And when you were born again, it says that everything was put in your very being pertaining to life and godliness. So God seeded in you. The day you said yes to Jesus, the Lord put a seed in you that is going to blossom, that is going to bloom. It's going to become something else. You are going to get faced with thinking differently. Remember how I told you I went in and everything looked different? I remember getting in the car, I was hitchhiking. We actually did that some time ago. And a person, for some reason, they said, I just bought a bag of marijuana and I want to share the whole thing with you. People don't do that. That's very unusual. You got to understand, I was a burnout. I understood how it works. You got your dope. You don't want people, you know, taking your pot. You want to smoke your pot. Suddenly there's this charitable spirit, you know, and I just want to drive around. I don't even know the people. But it's interesting because that looked different. I would have been a dog on that. A week before being born again, and I would have smoked. I would have said, "Excellent, don't know who you are, but good to know you, brother." We'd have smoked that whole ounce of marijuana. You know, it's funny. You know, I said, "No, I'm good." And I hitchhiked and took a ride about 2 miles up and where I was going, and I got out of the car. And I remember getting out of the car and going, "What the heck? What is that?" You're trying to figure out because it's different. You know, it wasn't that I read a book and said, "You know, thou shalt not smoke marijuana." You know, I'm brand new in the Lord. But I want to encourage you in something, that God is moving in your insides and he is transforming you. And here's the beautiful thing about transformation. It's a divine process. It's a supernatural process. I think this is why sometimes a lot of Christians get robbed of divine life, because they come into the Lord and they start approaching everything, you know, I've got to do this, I'm going to dress different. And I get all of that. But you know what? There's a work going on inside of you that you need to listen to. There's changes going on inside of you that you need to listen to. There's transformation that is going on inside you that you need to listen to. This is actually more crucial to how you're going to get to your future than any other thing. I want you to think about this. I want to be transformed, not conformed. And every time you get a situation where you know in your mind, you know what's interesting? How many times have you been faced with something that somebody did? Maybe you agreed with it before. You don't now. Maybe you used to run to sin, now you don't. And somebody, you know, questions you and you can't agree with them because your mind is renewed. And I want to say, part of your mind being renewed is using it. So if I have a situation and I'm seeing it how Christ would see it now, and that's going to affect how I do things, I'm thinking differently. Guess what? I'm being renewed. I want you to connect something. Renewal is connected to usage. I really believe this. Meaning, if you know the right thing to do and Jesus has changed you and something comes up and you get either pressurized and you don't do the right thing, and even though your mind said, this isn't right, you did it anyway, that's a part where we deny the spirit renewal and we get conformed again. A lot of people go, what is it to be transformed? And one thing I don't like is I'd see Christians talking like it was like they had their Harry Potter mixed up with Jesus, you know, or their Transformers or Avengers mixed up with Jesus, in that, you know, we may wave a magic wand and I'm perfect overnight. But the reality of that my mind is getting transformed, thinking differently. How many times can you remember when your mind even, and I've seen Christians do this to where they're going along good, they have the mind of Christ and they're getting renewed, and somebody comes to them with something that they shouldn't be thinking that way, but they do anyway. And all of a sudden they're getting conformed. And you can watch it. It's a decline in how they think. You need to grab this. Renewing of my mind. And you know, it's interesting. I don't know about you, but in the world I live in, am I right that you need your mind renewed all the time? I mean, sometimes I almost want to take it out and throw it in the washing machine, put some Tide, a few pods, a little bleach, because it, gosh darn it, you know. It's interesting. I work in building trades, and the guys, I don't know what it is, but they always love to take that DeWalt radio, turn it up on 10, and put the raunchiest music possible. And they do it all day long. In fact, it's so noisy that if we're in the main room, if we're getting equipment, you're trying to talk to somebody, hey, what was that blueprint? And you're like, I can't hear you because this music. Now, the good thing about my boss is he's a believer, okay? And he has kind of banned the metal music going 8 hours a day. But he's not, you know, when he's not around, it comes out and it goes on. And but it's interesting because sometimes that atmosphere is so oppressive. It has an effect on you. And those are the moments where I get off. It's like, if I don't renew my mind, it's going to have an effect on me. And you can just go the whole work week like that. You're not playing it. You're not in it. You didn't bring the radio. You wouldn't even choose that station, but there you are stuck listening. And all kinds of things start getting into your head. That's why I love the fact that Jesus is saying today, you know, I want to renew your mind. You're going to have the mind of Christ. You're going to have an opportunity to think right. And when we think, we think. That's the bottom line. The way you think dictates the way you live. It always has. That's why you need to be renewed in the spirit of your mind and not be conformed to the world that is around you. Isn't that always a struggle? You know, it's interesting. No matter what country you're in, America, doesn't matter, Asia. I've been in Turkey, Istanbul. It doesn't, you know, it's what goes on inside of you that really matters. And that's what changes the game. And we need to start understanding this thing. And even today, as we're going forth, I want you to grab this as hard as you can. And everything's about transformation in you. Don't worry about, I wonder if I'll get to my call. I wonder if God will open this door. What God is transforming you into, trust me. What goes on around you changes as what goes on inside of you changes. Trust me. Changes. We don't even believe this. We're often asking God to convert our situation. And we're not thinking about it, that God's trying to change us inside. That's why the Lord, when I was early, a younger Christian and praying, he's like saying, half that stuff you prayed, I couldn't even do it. Mess you up. You're not even ready for what you're asking me for. I love when people go, I want to see 500,000 souls saved. Really? You got people that can work with 500,000 people? Seriously? You know, I see, we go, you know, Lord, only your will be done. I see people praying that, and they're mad at God for this, they're mad at God for that, they're mad at God for this. I'm like, that prayer you just prayed is fairly inconsistent with where you're at because you can't even accept the lesser things God's asking. How do you think you'll accept the greater things? I've seen people say, I want to raise the dead. I say, well, you probably want governmental persecution. Because when you start doing that, you will have problems. I had one girl in a psych ward get healed, and I was banned from the psych ward. Think about this for a minute. And I was told that technically I was practicing medicine without a license. Which I really was not. Isn't it interesting when radical change comes, often radical persecution comes? See, I have a theory, and I'm not downing any church. I'm not downing any, I mean, because we should never do that. But I don't know that the church in America scares the devil a lot. I'm not convinced of that yet. It's going to scare him. Oh, I don't mean there's not good Christians in America. I don't mean there's not good churches. There's plenty of good churches. But I think where he really gets nervous, you look in the book of Acts. Why do you think you're hearing that Herod had one of the disciples killed? He had him beheaded. They were raised in the dead. Satan reacts very hard when his works are destroyed. But the real question, and also I want to say this, where we are being living sacrifices, where we are being transformed into sons of God, guess what the Son of God does? What do you think Jesus came to do? It says, destroy the works of the devil. So no matter what you're called today, no matter what Jesus is doing in you, ultimately, as Christ is made manifest in you, you will destroy the works of the devil. And that is what the devil cannot and will never settle for in a million years? You know, it's interesting. I get into countries where there's governmental persecution, and as we close today, and I see the people willing to do whatever it takes. They don't care. They don't care. You know? The next trip we're supposed to do is in a really bad area. I'm not going to get into it, but it's just bad. It's an area where you can get into a lot of trouble. Now, I've been in some countries where they will imprison the pastor and just deport you, meaning they're not, you know, going to put you in prison, but the pastor that you were helping, he's going to jail. But there are other places. In fact, this next one is an area that's really hazardous. In fact, the last time I was to this country, I dealt with military. It was really, really, it was spooky, you know? You know, it's interesting when you have the military pounding on your hotel door at 12:47 at night, and you're the first thing that's going through your mind, and I remember the moment. It was actually 12:43. My watch stopped when they knocked. My second hand stopped. In fact, it was this watch, actually. Darn watch. And I remember looking at that, and I remember thinking, can I do this? The first thing I thought was, can I do this? Can I do this? Now, the second thing I thought is, what did I say to the people I loved before I flew out? It was the second thought I had. Third thought was, what will they do without me? It was a nervous moment. And even myself, I wondered, are you a living sacrifice? Can you do this? You know, can you do it? Can you do imprisonment? Can you do torture? Can you do it? You wonder about that and kind of go, am I ready? It really causes you to think very differently, and it's very quick that it happens. It's almost like in a millisecond, and all of a sudden you're considering all these heavy, weighty things. But as we close today, I think this is so much of what matters. And sometimes I want to tell you something. I am not telling you to not pray for situations to change. I've prayed for a lot of situations that have changed. What I am telling you today, okay, are you with me? What I am telling you today is that you need to truly, truly, truly understand that you have to be open that sometimes God wants to change what's going on in here. And it'll help the surroundings. It'll change the way you see things. When you're transformed, it often changes the way you view things. So let's all stand and pray. I say that as a word of encouragement. Sometimes you preach that and people go, I don't like that sermon because he's talking like I can't see no changes around me. No, not saying that at all. In fact, we're praying this week. I was praying last week. I got texts during the week that I had to get on my knees and pray for situations. Absolutely, because there are situations that come that we must intercede. So don't miss what I'm saying here. But there will be times, and God will show you, where it's like, I'm transforming your insides. And you know what's interesting? What is it about our insides change and then the outsides change? So many times. So many times I've had God move in my heart and change me, and things around me start shifting. Just like that. It's amazing. You know, when I was doing music, and that studio and that rehearsal hall was so, it was a god. I made it a god, guys. And I fit. It was like a perfect pair of pants. I'd walk in there, you know, I fit. I should be there. The kind of person I was, the bad kind of person I was, it all fit. And then God changes me on the inside, and I walk in the room, and it's no longer my room. I'm no longer ruling the roost. I'm no longer this excellent player. I'm somebody else. Everything shifted inside, and therefore everything outside looked different. Be encouraged today. Your prayers are being heard. Jesus is transforming. He's working you. I want you to understand this. Sometimes when you're praying for people, pray that God changes their insides. Sometimes we pray for people, and we just don't realize that he's changing our insides. And we want to see them change, and we don't like what they do. Well, if their insides get changed, especially when we're praying for other Christians, it's important to understand that sometimes they need a transformation, just like we need a transformation. But you've been asking God for that special thing, and let's pray that right now. You've asked God for miracles and certain things to come around. The heart needs to change. There's a transformation that God is doing and more that he is desiring to do. And sometimes that's actually where the whole burden lies right now. Lord, I am asking you today to do that work in myself. Everyone sitting here, we are being transformed into the image of Christ. That's the whole thing right there. Lord, I love it because it doesn't put a burden on me to be something other than what you're calling me to be. But most importantly, we're sons and daughters of God in this earth, destroying the works of the devil. That's really critical. In fact, that's really where it kind of starts and it ends. I pray even now this morning, specifically, everybody in this room has had a different prayer to you, and we have asked you to move in situations. We've asked you to protect people. We've asked you to undo things that have been done, and that's all good. We pray, Lord, for a sea change in the heart of your people. So much of where we need to get really lies with that sea change for the heart of your people. Lord, I pray, even as you have prepared us, and I think about even this proposition, this great offer for Matt, and I'm excited about it. And it's interesting because I think about different ways you've expanded him and grown him and given him experience. And, you know, Lord, it's funny. Again, you work in us and you develop us, and then you bring the situation. I love that. Lord, we're encouraged by that, and I pray today we wouldn't look in our flesh. Lord, if according to the rules of the flesh, I would not be different, I would have never even survived. If you didn't change my insides, where I was heading was nowhere good. But that's the beautiful thing about coming to know you, Jesus. You change our insides. I pray a blessing as we leave this place today. You would touch us. You would minister to us. Holy Spirit, right now, that Lord, I know somebody has asked you a very specific prayer, and there's difficulties with that prayer, and they need your intervention. And they have asked you something specifically that is hard, and you're going to do it. I think your word says you're going to do it. You're going to do it. You drew them all the way here. You've put them in a place in their life, and you're changing things. And you want them to know that you are their Father. And you will take care of them. You know what to do. Lord, for the inner conflict that can happen. And so many times that, Lord, I really think there's a battle for the heart of the church. I think there's a battle for the heart of the Christian. There is such an internal war going on right now. And we see it. We see the flesh. We see man asserting himself over God, even in his Christianity, even in his theology. And I pray this morning as we go that the confidence would be there. We know what we are heading for. In you. I just pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Blessings, everyone.